Blog Talk Radio.
Just means, you know, the Super Bowl's been played. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl and season-ending awards. And, you know, we're going to give you a season-ending K-Star sound-off, a season-ending Dr. Train's philosophy, and, of course, a season-ending T-Bonics. Kind of got away from our segments for a little while, and we're going to bring those back this evening. And then we're going to sign off for a little while and take a little break, but we'll be back. It won't be long. I don't know how long. I see what's going on in the NFL, what's there going to be to talk about. But we won't be in every week's show for a little while. You know, we'll take some time and regroup and revisit the year behind the scenes and make some decisions on how we move forward and what do we change and what do we get rid of and what do we keep. And hopefully, you know, start looking ahead towards the NFL draft and come back in time maybe to update, you know, on talk a little bit about the draft and the latest goings on in NFL. You know, and then probably after the draft, take a little bit more time off. And, you know, spring, summer will be here. And you know what? And then before you know it, you know, the season will be getting ready to get started. And the Mad Voice will be right back here to talk about the upcoming 2013 NFL season. And we'll do it all over again, you know. But as it's kind of looking ahead. But right now, let's look at tonight. What a game. You know, did you guys watch? I mean, to my surprise, the most viewed Super Bowl of all time. And you can thank the media because I'll tell you, I really didn't see this being a well-participated game. I really didn't see this being a game that did ratings like that. I really didn't see that coming. But the media, you know, they hyped the game for 2 weeks. Ray Lewis, the big storyline, Ed Reed, and all the stuff going on in Baltimore. Colin Kaepernick, you know, the young quarterback, and Randy Moss, and Vernon Davis, and all of that. And of course, you know, the brother versus brother. So, you know, the media, you know, they did a great job. And 115 million people watched this game. And, man, it drew so much attention, they lost power. They couldn't even keep the lights on, you know. But what a game it was. We're going to talk about it in detail. And looking forward to chopping it up a little bit. Let's bring in, of course, my longest co-host here, the EAFL 1 Super Bowl winner. And the guy who has earned his PhD and has relocated out to the West Coast, but still joins us as if, you know, I mean, this guy's and he don't. Let's just give this guy some props. You know, join the Madden Voice while studying to get his PhD. And if you've never studied to get your PhD, you have no idea the amount of time and commitment that takes. Got a job out on the West Coast and relocated, and brother hasn't missed a beat. So he is here with us tonight. We know him as Dr. Train, the man with the philosophy. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Wow, see, you made me feel like I traveled the world in like 80 days, dude.
Well, you know, good to have you here, Train, and good to have you back on the Madden Voice once again, and, you know, just giving you credit where credit is due, you know? I mean, this isn't something that you're getting paid to do. This isn't like it's a paid position, you know, and yet you've, you know, really haven't missed a beat. So I know this. I know your fans appreciate it based on the number of followers that I see the Madden Voice having, and I just want you to know that Commissioner T, of course, appreciates it. We will be joined momentarily by K-Star. He's not with us just yet, but he will join us momentarily. But Train, give us just your initial thoughts on the game. Your like initial, you know, your elevator speech. If you're in the elevator, you know, and someone says to you just before you're about to get off the floor, "Hey man, what'd you think of the game?" Your initial thoughts on the Super Bowl.
I was happy with the way the game went, man. For a minute there, it looked like it was going to be like, oh, man, I'm hitting home by the end of the third quarter. Clearly, I can change the channel and do something else. And it actually turned out to be an exciting game. Like, just for the sake of you know, of a Super Bowl or having a good Super Bowl, it actually turned out to be an exciting game.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I never, ever bought into that the game was going to be a blowout. I never, ever once didn't think that San Francisco wasn't going to make a run and come back. We had just seen San Francisco do that, you know, with Atlanta. And, you know, it's too good of a team, too well-coached of a team to just fold like that. And particularly, you know, I think certainly the news media – certainly played up the brother role tremendously. And I actually even heard Stephen A. Smith himself make the same point that I made about the older brother versus the younger brother. And, you know, it's just no way to me that team, you know, with the younger brother on the other sideline getting his clock cleaned, I had no doubt that they weren't going to come back and make a run, you know. But let me ask you this, Train. I'm curious your thoughts on this. The power outage, you know, the 34-minute power outage, a lot of people are given that credit for having helped kind of cool down and ice the Ravens and given the 49ers second life. What are your thoughts on that?
All right, first of all, you know, when you think of the power outage, for me, I think of the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial that we saw all season long, where they wanted the game to be extended in overtime, where they wanted the team to tie the game and something strange just happens.
Yeah.
But I do think it may have slowed down the Ravens' momentum. Like you just said, the 49ers, they came back in the past couple weeks. They came back against Atlanta. I mean, they played well against Green Bay, but they had to come back in the Atlanta game. Atlanta was killing them. So, I mean, the same as you, I kind of figured there would be a point that San Francisco would make a push, but I think more or less that outage may have killed a little bit of momentum for the Ravens, no more than helping the 49.
Yeah, you know, I will be honest. I think the whole power outage thing was kind of overblown. These are professional athletes, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as simple as that. I don't think it's just as simple as, you know, shut the game down for half an hour, start the game back up, and, you know, this is not Madden. These are real men playing this game, and I think to give the power outage so much credit to me is to really disrespect the 49ers. I mean, it was a team playing football, and they started to, and even before the outage, they were starting to move the ball. You know, they were starting to figure some things out. And, you know,
Before their outage, man, they were third and 13. Like, the play right when the outage hit, it was third and 13.
Yeah, that one. But they had moved the ball up to that point. I was sitting there watching the game, too. And I'm sitting there. I'm watching the game, and I'm hearing the announcers say, you know, I hope this power outage doesn't affect the game. I hope this power outage, and I'm sitting there saying, well, the 49ers are already starting to move the ball. You know, they were already starting to move. They had that one particular, they were 3rd and 13, but before it was 3rd and 13, they had started moving the ball. You know, they had already started to make plays before the power outage had went out. So
I mean, it wasn't in that quarter. When the power outage went out, it was 13 minutes, 22 seconds remaining in the second quarter. The Raiders had just
third quarter.
The Raiders had just squandered their possession because they got the ball first. And so on the 49ers' first possession, they hadn't moved the ball.
No, they had.
They hadn't even got past the 30-yard line.
They had gotten two first downs. They had gotten two first downs before the power outage went out. They were 3rd and 13, but they had already gotten two first downs. Check it. I'm telling you. They had already started to move the ball before the power outage, because I sat there during the whole power outage and said, they're going to make the power outage the reason, and the 49ers are already starting to move the ball. And sure enough, they kept saying, oh, the power outage. And I'm like, no, the 49ers were already starting to move the ball. I'm telling you. Check it out. You'll find out that I'm right. The 49ers had already started. And even the Ravens coach interviewed today said, no, this was the 49ers actually doing some things differently. This wasn't the power outage. No, this, you know, he's like, I don't give the power outage any credit. Now, we know his brother's coaching the other team, but his brother had no problem saying, blaming the refs and the holding and all of that. I thought, and that's another issue, but I thought he was not very gracious in defeat, to be quite honest with you. Another issue altogether. So I think the power outage is just overblown. You know, the 49ers still have to execute. They still have to get it done. And, you know, the fact that both teams sat on the sidelines. So why is it that the power outage benefits the 49ers? Why wouldn't it benefit the Ravens? I mean, they're older. That's more rest that they get. That's more time that they get to, you know, relax.
I think when you're from the standpoint where you're the team that's behind, I think it would favor you more to have more time to think about how to get back in this game.
But how much more time do you need when you're just coming off a Super Bowl halftime? But you're just coming off a Super Bowl halftime.
I'm not saying you need more time than halftime.
Look like they were game planning on the sidelines?
But what I'm saying is the extra time doesn't hurt.
Well,
the extra time doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt you to figure out something.
I guess it wouldn't hurt, but I don't think, as we were watching, I didn't see any game planning going on. I saw people trying to figure out how to keep the team loose and trying to keep them warm and telling them stay on the field and keep, you know, I didn't see any team huddles. I didn't see the quarterback or anybody on the sidelines. You know, I didn't see any of that. It was more, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. How long is the game going to be on pause? And, you know, I don't think that an extra, especially when you just came off, you know, a 30-minute break from halftime, which is twice the length of a normal halftime because of the Super Bowl. So these guys are used to 15-minute halftime breaks. So now you got a 30-minute halftime break. I think it was overblown. I just think that, you know, this team, I mean, was there a power outage against Atlanta? No. Did they not come back from 17-0? Yeah. So why do we think a power outage did it yesterday, gave them time to figure something out when they did it the week before, 2 weeks before, against a pretty good team with no power outage?
No, I'm not giving a power outage as much credit as the media would. But I know it can affect momentum. I mean, any stoppage in the game can affect.
Well, I think it can. The question would be, did it? And, I mean, I guess, you know, I think that they're giving too much credit to the fact that they came back after a power outage. And I think they were going to come back either way. I don't think the outage really, I don't think it really mattered. You know, to be honest with you, I think it was more irritating than anything else, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're playing, you ready to play now. You know, you had to wait extra 15 minutes. You're ready to play, you know? I don't know.
I definitely agree with you there. I had to stay up 30 minutes longer to watch this thing.
Who you tell? You know, and these guys are playing. I mean, at some point, you done had 2 weeks to game plan. You know, you don't need that extra 30 minutes at that point. You're ready to play now, you know? All right, let's bring Saint on. Saint wants to jump into this conversation. We about to make Saint a commentator, man. We about to give you the Madden voice mantle, man, and make you a commentator. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I'm loving the topic. I got a question for you though, too.
Yep.
I gotta believe this is your gut feeling. If there's a such thing as momentum, you got to believe somewhere that the game probably wouldn't have been as close as it was if that blackout hadn't came about. Do you believe it would have turned out just like it did? I'm sorry, let me cut this thing. Do you believe it would have turned out just like it did, or if the blackout didn't happen? Because I believe it would have been, if anything, it would have been not as close.
Because
then brothers had momentum, man.
Yeah, but, you know, again, I'll say what I just said. You know, we saw this exact same type of performance against Atlanta. Atlanta jumped out 17-0, and we saw San Francisco come back. I mean, they're, you know, let's remember, you know, they are a good team, good defensive team. That offense, you know, that read option is very difficult to defend, and
I could go with you there. I mean, but I'm saying when you come back here from halftime, I thought, okay, San Francisco not out of this game. They got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
When your man run it back, that's almost like a – to me, that's almost like a dagger, man.
Yeah, it's a dagger to us.
Was still flowing after the half.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Football is a long game, okay? So it's a 22-point game. You've got you've got pretty much the whole second half. You truly think that anybody on the San Francisco sideline thought it was over? If anything, it meant, oh, shit, we got to buckle down and get something going. You know, it meant, okay, we got to get serious. To me, that run back made them focus even more. And I think Eric Mangini made a good point today on First Take. You know, sometimes when you get up big like that, you take your foot off the gas. You start to think it's done. You start to think it's over. You know, ain't no way they're coming back from 3 touchdowns, you know. And that allows the other team to gain some momentum and get some things done. But to just say that both teams sat on the sides for 34 minutes and then that automatically favored the team that was down, I don't see that as why would it not favor the older team because they had an extra half an hour to rest. You know, we know the Ravens are an older team. The 49ers are a younger team. So now the Ravens get an extra half an hour to rest. Why wouldn't it favor them? Why wouldn't they be even more ready to play now?
And I think it's because of – and when I say this, I kind of feel contradicting myself because I really don't know exactly if how much credit you can give momentum. But if there is a such thing as momentum, they had it. I mean, they finna roll away. I feel like they finna run away with this game. And I believe once you get that, when you sit on that blackout, especially after something like that just happened, that takes the wind out of you. I mean, you're thinking, okay, we got to come back, bound this man run for 108 yards for a touchdown, and the point spread gets even larger. I think you get a chance to sit back, relax a little bit more after the blackout, get to calm down, and I believe you hope maybe come back into you a little bit. It's almost like you're starting fresh. It's almost like another halftime. I believe it played a factor. I definitely do. Now, how big of a factor, I don't know. They are professionals. But I'm asking you, did it play a factor? Would it have been as close? What do you believe? Would it have been as close if the blackout did not happen?
You know, my gut says it didn't matter. And my gut is also very happy that the Ravens didn't lose because now it becomes a really huge topic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Ravens lost. It becomes a really huge topic. But, you know, my gut says is that, you know, two or three plays after the blackout, the blackout didn't matter anymore. These guys are playing football again. You know, maybe the first or second play, you know, maybe a couple of guys are a little stiff and a little, you know, okay, here we go. And after they put a helmet on somebody, it's over now. It's just like coming out of halftime. It's done. And let's play some football. And I think it takes away from the great job that the 49ers did as a team getting back into this game. I mean, these guys were playing some good football in the second half to get back into this game. And I think, you know, we can talk about the old momentum, and certainly momentum is a terminology we use to kind of describe which team is performing more consistently at a given time in a game, and we've labeled it momentum, but that team is still getting it done. You know, if there was no such term as momentum, then we would just say, wow, that team's playing really well, and the other team ain't doing nothing. But since we've added a label saying momentum, now we this fictitious thing called momentum. Well, this is why. It was obviously momentum. Well, wait a minute. Momentum didn't score those touchdowns. The 49ers scored those touchdowns. You know, there was no divine intervention, to my knowledge, God please forgive me, that came down and scooped them up and put them in the end zone. They still had to score and execute on a very good Ravens defense that, by the way, gave up more yards than any team in NFL history. So, you know, I understand the logic because you know, when the 49ers come out and score 17 points in the third quarter, and you look at it coming after a blackout, of course everybody wants to jump and say, oh, it was momentum. But do people realize that the second half score of this game was 25-13? I mean, is that momentum, or did the 49ers just have a formula that they figured out that they could do in the first half, and they were able to get it executed? And it was going to be executed whether there was a blackout or not. And that's kind of my position, is it was going to be executed whether there was a blackout or not. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. I just don't want to disrespect what a good San Francisco team was able to do.
I agree with you on one thing, that I'm glad that the Ravens won. And even if the Ravens would have lost, it's still, you got to go out there and play. You can't blame a blackout for you blowing that kind of lead. Even if they would have lost, there's no excuse. You're professionals. You can't blame a blackout for you blowing that kind of lead. I mean, you're supposed to have the best defense, or one of the best defenses in the league, and you let them come back like that. Regardless of blackout or no blackout, you know, you got to man up. This is the NFL. But I do agree. I'm glad they won so it wouldn't all get blamed on the blackout.
Right. Yeah, and just to kind of reiterate my point about the San Francisco had already started moving the ball. I just looked up the play-by-play for the game. LaMichael James had a 21-yard run before the blackout in the third quarter, and Kaepernick had thrown the ball for 29 yards. Made a 29-yard pass play to Crabtree. Those were the two first downs I talked about. And then Gore ran it for three, and then Kaepernick got sacked, and then that's when the blackout happened. So there were two substantial plays by San Francisco before the blackout in the third quarter. So that's why I'm saying is they were already starting to accomplish something. Yeah, it was 3rd and 13, but they had already moved the ball 40 yards. You know, they had already had two. Now, they got sacked, so they lost some yards going back on the sack. But before that, they had a 14-yard play and a 29-yard play. So they were already starting to figure something out. We don't know, because there was a blackout, what would have happened had there not been one. My contention is we would have pretty much the same thing. And about second and third play after the blackout, it didn't matter anymore, my opinion. It's just these guys are balling now. They're not thinking blackout. They're thinking, you know, I need to score, and the other team's thinking I need to stop you, which is football, you know. Let's bring K-Star into the mix. Come on now. This switchboard is not real. There we go. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on, folks?
Are you there?
What's up?
Are you breaking up? K-Star.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
All right, now I can hear you. Gotcha. Hey, okay. chime in on this topic. I don't know if you heard. My contention is the blackout's being overblown. 49ers are already moving the ball. I just read the play-by-play, and I think they're not getting enough credit for the adjustments that they were making, and that the blackout really, I think, is just, in my opinion, is just too big of a deal. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, the 49ers, and we've seen it, our team that thrived on second-half adjustments. We saw it at Atlanta where they had a masterful second half. And, you know, they're just a team that has been resilient all season, so for it to be blamed on the blackout, for it to be attributed as to why they came back, is to me a little silly and kind of lazy to say, oh, okay, well, the Niners didn't come back because, you know, there was a blackout that took place. I don't really buy that. You know, you pointed out and highlighted some plays in which they were already making some initial progress. So, while unfortunate for the Ravens and everything, again, overblown, because this is a team that brought on second half adjustments all season long. And again, we saw Atlanta. They were down, I believe, 24-6 at one point, came back, won that game in the second half, and they were, you know, on their way again, playing second half football. So, overblown.
Yeah, I agree. Feels weird to be agreeing with K-Star, but I agree. Sane, I've already muted you back, but thanks for the comments. We appreciate it. The other issue I wanted to get on, and you know, I sent out an agenda today, and K-Star said, do we really need to talk about it? And then he realized, okay, maybe we do. And let me be clear, K-Star has an opinion on this, but there are I saw this a lot on the internet today, so I don't want anyone to feel like K-Star is the only one who has this opinion. But K-Star, I want you to kind of tell everybody, you know, kind of what I'm referring to with the whole Ray Lewis winning the Super Bowl thing and some things that are being spread around the internet about Ray Lewis winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, first off, let me just remind everyone that I'm a Steelers fan, so my opinion about Ray Lewis might be a little bit different than some others, but you know, Ray Lewis is a guy that for me is someone that I feel is a guy who you probably shouldn't necessarily have as your favorite football player, or a guy that you probably should be looking up to based off of a lot of things that happened in his past. As we're all aware, this is a guy who was involved on some kind of level in a double homicide. And when I watched Ray Lewis, and this is my personal opinion, it can't be proven, obviously, because no one knows for sure. When I watched Ray Lewis, my biggest problem with him is he's a guy who praises God and almost preaches to people on a regular basis. And for me, when you've kind of been involved with what you've been involved in, it seems disingenuous and almost just a bit condescending to and patronizing to be that way, because one thing that rubbed me wrong, and I mean, Steelers fan, not really a big Ray Lewis guy, during Super Bowl week, someone had asked him about the whole, you know, murder cases. We kind of figured someone would. And he had said that, you know, you guys probably aren't qualified to be asking this type of questions. But what rubbed me the wrong way is when he had said that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes, God, things happen for a reason. And for me, he's basically saying that, okay, so two guys were murdered because God basically wanted it to happen, and all this pain that the family has to deal with is only because God, you know, God wanted this to happen. And to me, it's like, dude, come on, man. Like, you're preaching, you're doing the whole Jesus thing, and to me it just seems like again, can't prove it, no one knows for sure. It just seems like you're using the Lord's name and using Bible and all that stuff as a cover for some of the stuff you did. And to be preached, I just don't feel like you should be the one preaching, Ray Lewis. You shouldn't be the one telling the people, you know, praise God, you know, all this other stuff. And the way people, a lot of people make Ray Lewis out to be is some incredibly incredible role model and guy, in which I just think that it's a little crazy for people to have that opinion because of what he was involved in. And he to me is fraudulent with the way he, again, uses God and everything else to kind of push his own beliefs and everything else on other people. And again, I just don't think he's a qualified person to do it. And I'm not a Ray Lewis fan at all.
I allowed you to speak uninterrupted because I think this is a serious topic, and I wanted you to get your opinion out uninterrupted and unfiltered. First I have a couple of questions. Why is now the time for you or anybody else to bash Ray Lewis? And obviously you're talking about the murder case from 13 years ago, but why now? You know, why not then? Why not any time? We've been doing this show for 2 years, you and I. You've been part of the show for longer than that, where we've talked about a lot of different issues, and you would come on and help us out before we full-time switched our format. Not once have you personally mentioned any other than your normal dislike for a Ravens team, because you are a Steelers fan, and that's certainly understandable. But why now would anybody want to use this time after this has been 13 years? That's my first question, is I don't understand. So can you help me understand why now?
It's more or less because as the storyline has continued to grow, you know, like Ray Lewis, you know, with Ray Lewis retiring and everything else, just the way that it's kind of been pushed in the media that, you know, Ray Lewis is, you know, this amazing, you know, guy, and like he's just this guy in which we should all just look up to and admire and aspire to kind of be like. I mean, when you're more or less getting more attention because your team is winning these games, and again, when you kind of retire and make it about you in the media, as like, hey, we got to win this for Ray. It kind of puts more Ray Lewis in the forefront as opposed to just the Ravens, because again, with Ray Lewis announced his retirement, it became more about, hey, let's, this is for Ray Lewis.
That was his teammate saying that. His very own teammate said, let's win this for Ray. And Ray turned around and said, well, I'm going to do this for you. So if his own team feels that way, why is that his fault?
Because when Ray Lewis is on, like, the thing with Ray is, like, the man just seems so starved for attention. Like, when there's a camera, the man just goes into his little Jesus speech and all the other stuff. And because, again, he announced his retirement or whatever, the attention's been on him. And, yeah, obviously his teammates push for that because it's, you know, he's a great teammate, so on and so forth. But, I mean, it's pretty calculated as well with how Ray is. I mean, with, again, in my opinion, I couldn't prove it, that, you know, he's just starved for that media attention when the camera's on. I mean, the man just goes into his little, you know, Jesus feels. I mean,
is there anything that you've heard him say, or is there anything you've heard people say about him on the field that you would disagree with?
About him on the football field?
Yeah.
No. Ray's an incredible football player.
Is there anything that you have heard him say when he does his God discussions that you would disagree with?
I just don't I mean, when Ray talks about guys, I almost want to cringe because it's like, come on, dude, like, just stop. Like, just stop this.
But is there anything you disagree with that he says? Is there anything that you say, I don't agree with that, why are you saying that?
Not necessarily disagree with, but I don't feel like he's the guy who should be saying what he's saying.
And that's because he was involved in a murder trial 13 years ago. So he doesn't have a right to profess his love for God.
Not in the worst way he's doing it, no. I mean, it just seems disingenuous. And then you look at the fact that now, upon other things, I mean, the guy is involved in the case in which he may or may not be cheating. It just kind of less, more or less speaks to his true character.
So do you feel you have enough information to judge his character? I mean, we had this show last year and this year, mostly last season, and we sat there and went through a season of Tebowing for a guy who wore his love for God on.
And
his
we didn't like that either.
But well, you embraced it. I mean, we have pictures of you Tebowing. You embraced it.
Right.
You fell into the same. You will not find a picture of me Tebowing. I never once did it, to be frank with you. But you embraced it. You yourself. You got caught up in the whole Tebowing craze, and people embraced it. And Ray Lewis, a man who's given 17 years to this league, all to one franchise, and people aren't embracing his love for God, and people calling it disingenuous because he's made mistakes. And that's where I don't understand is at what point, you know, why can he not do it? Can do it because Tebow's younger and hasn't had a chance to make the same mistake.
You look at Tim Tebow and his, you know, his transgressions or lack thereof. I mean, the man hasn't been involved in anything. He kind of more or less
just got here
based off his actions.
Just
hasn't
got
had any.
He just got here. Let's be fair. He just got here. I mean,
and we go and judge off his actions. But I mean, he hasn't done anything to say, okay, well, he may or may not be genuine.
Well,
I mean,
all right. Well, let's be honest. What has Ray Lewis actually done? He plea bargained in a murder case. And if you know anything about the law, if the prosecutor thought that Ray Lewis actually did it, they would not plea bargain. They would take him to trial. Ray Carruth could not plea bargain because Ray Carruth did it. OJ could not plea bargain because they felt strongly that OJ did it, but they didn't have enough on Ray. They really didn't have anything. And so they figured, well, we don't think he did it, but we think he knows more than he's letting on. So we'll make a deal with him for a misdemeanor. If he testifies, he testified, he got the misdemeanor. And then the two guys, that they did take trial, were acquitted.
He rolled over on his two friends. I mean, he settled for a plea agreement. So,
well, so
again,
did you. But I saw one of your friends bring up Ben Roethlisberger, and Ben,
which I don't understand, because Ben Roethlisberger was never charged, arrested. No shred of evidence was ever put upon him.
His rape case before he got charged, he settled it. That's why. I'm not saying he did or didn't do it. I'm saying let's not be hypocritical when judging people.
Hold on.
He settled it.
Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, Ben Roethlisberger, the first thing that ever happened to him was a civil lawsuit was brought upon him, and he went to civil court. He wasn't charged. He wasn't arrested. It was literally a money grab situation where they were trying to look for money, and Ben Roethlisberger didn't lose that case. Ben Roethlisberger was never charged or arrested. There was never, again, anything brought upon him, so I'm not really sure how.
Because it's trouble with the law. On a very
he didn't get arrested.
Okay, he had to go to court. He chose to sell. He didn't fight it. I mean, it never got to court. And not only did they settle, he made sure everyone agreed not to release the terms of the stipulation. So they all signed saying that they dismissed the case and they would never release the terms in which they decided to dismiss it. And that came out of Ben's camp. And I don't have any problem with Ben. I really don't. You know, all I'm saying is let's be fair when we're judging people. And my biggest problem with why people in the picture that I saw on your Facebook of the Steeler fan holding the mugshot of Ray Lewis is why now? The guy's been in the league for 13 more years. you know, including if my math is correct, this would be his second Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
winning player, you know, MVP award and all of that. And it's like now he's on top. He's going out on his terms, and the hatred coming after him for something that happened over a decade ago, I don't get it. If people felt that strongly, then this should have been from day one and should have never went away. But they wait until now.
Let me say this about what I'm hearing. I did tell you I wasn't going to chime in on this topic because I was annoyed by the whole idea of it. But I will say this, K-Star. I don't think you or anyone else has the right to tell a person when and when they cannot give God praise in their life, ever. I don't think you or anyone else has the right to judge a person based on cloudy facts. You have no idea what happened back then. All you have is what they've released. What I pretty much see is a man who went through something and it changed his life. And he uses his stage, his only stage that he has, which is football, to try to personify leadership and to personify what God has done for him in his life. You know, I didn't even have a problem when Tebow did it. Only problem I have with Tebow is that he couldn't throw the ball. But Ray Lewis is a hell of a football player. And probably can arguably go down as one of the best little linebackers to ever play the game. Or the best. But no one has any right to tell this man that, oh, because you pleaded to a misdemeanor in a murder case, oh, you don't have the right to talk about God. You don't have the right to bring up God. How dare you? How can you say that? We talk about giving people second chances, and here this man has a second chance, and he's going out at the top, you know, for his career, retiring on a Super Bowl win, and all we want to bring up is what he did 13 years ago.
And let me say this. I think there's a difference between saying a general statement towards NFL athletes or any athletes. And the question is, we see it in football, basketball. We see it in with actors and actresses, right? The Grammys, I believe, are coming up Sunday night. Watch the Grammys and watch how many times God is praised, right? And some of those are going to be tattoo-wearing, ex-con rap artists that are going to come out there, and the first they're going to say is all praises be to God, right? And no one gives them a hard time, right? We see this all the time. To me, the issue isn't should Ray Lewis be praising God, and is he that's not the issue. The issue to me is football a stage where someone should be praising God? And I don't have that answer. I really don't. To be honest with you, I'll even go so far as to say there were a couple times that I thought, that was a little much, but that's his right. But I thought, man, a little much, you know. And I didn't hear it the way you heard it. I'm pretty sure that when he said God makes no mistakes, he's not meaning that those two people had a right to be killed. I think that's a big stretch. I don't think he meant that. I think we're a very judgmental and opinionated society, and we're real quick to throw the gamut down on somebody without, one, having all the facts, you know, and two, without even talking with that person and being clear on what they mean with what they've said. And I would just say, K-Star, as you get older and continue to go through life, make sure you have all your information. Make sure that your opinion is based on not so much you hating the Ravens or hating Ray Lewis, but is it based on any shred of fact? And, you know, let's be honest. He was not convicted, not even tried for murdering those two people. Yeah, you could say
he was tried. No, he was tried initially.
He plea bargained.
He settled.
He plea bargained. Right. You can't settle a criminal case, but you can plea bargain. So he plea bargained to a much lesser charge of obstruction of justice, which is a misdemeanor, in exchange for his testimony. Do you really think that they do that to someone they truly think is guilty of murder? I can tell you how the court system works. No, they do not. You cannot do, I don't care what your name is and how much money you have. Ray Caruth couldn't do it, former Carolina Panther who killed his girlfriend. And O.J. couldn't do it, Hall of Fame actor, running back, he couldn't do it. You can't do that. You do it because they know they don't have a case. And so what can we get?
They didn't have enough physical evidence.
They didn't have a case.
And what they wanted to do was, because they didn't have enough physical evidence, like, okay, well, obviously a murder had taken place. These were the guys involved. And by doing so, by getting Ray to cooperate and turn over on his boys, they at least guaranteed that those two went to jail because of it.
Hey, I mean,
Ray Lewis's limo was shot at. Ray Lewis's limo was shot at. That suit he had was missing that night that he wore. I mean, these are things that aren't made up. These are actual facts. It was missing. They couldn't find the suit because it was missing. So
okay.
You're right. They didn't have enough evidence because it was gone. It was MIA for some reason.
I'm trying to teach you something here. I'm trying to teach you something, okay? And you need to learn something here. This was not about them not being able to prove the case. This was about the fact that they knew he didn't do it, or they wouldn't have plea bargained. They would have taken him. They would have taken him to trial and took their chances if they thought he did it. That's how the system works. They're not going to.
They didn't have enough proof.
Listen to me. They're not going to let a murderer go on a misdemeanor obstruction of justice charge for testimony to two other guys if they thought Ray Lewis was responsible. It's not going to happen. It's not. Doesn't work that way.
Yes. If they don't have enough evidence, physical evidence.
Okay.
Well, if you don't have enough physical evidence, what else can you do?
You're assuming that they didn't have enough physical evidence. That's your opinion. Because they didn't have.
Because it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. If you can't prove a case based off evidence, what do you really have?
I'm dealing with facts. You're telling me something that is not a fact. You're telling me they couldn't prove he did it. That's not a fact. That's your opinion because you don't like the guy and you want him to be convicted of murder. I'm telling you a fact is the court system does not let people go down to a misdemeanor charge if they think that you're responsible for murder. It doesn't happen, K-Star. Ask any criminal defense attorney out there, if you know any, and they will tell you absolutely not. Doesn't matter what we can prove. We're going to trial. We're going to take our chances because we got a jury. We've got a jury of 12 people, and you never know how that jury's gonna judge. You just don't know. We'll take our chances. Remember, this is the prosecution that's run by the state. They've got unlimited resources. They've got unlimited resources. So they're going to take their chances. Okay? And guess what? Why not? It's going to cost Ray how many millions of dollars to defend himself? So if nothing else, we're going to get $2, 3, 4, 5 million out of him for defending himself. Trust me, it doesn't work that way. There are times when you just have to understand that I've been walking this planet a lot longer than you and seeing a lot more than you, and just listen to what I'm telling you. Yes, they couldn't find the suit. I know that. Don't have an answer for that. Yes, his limo was shot at. Know that too. But I also know that you don't plea bargain down to a misdemeanor if the prosecution thinks you killed somebody. Doesn't happen. In the history of jurisprudence, it doesn't happen. Whether they can prove it or not, it doesn't happen. And that's what I'm trying to tell you is they knew he didn't do it. We'll take him. If we got nothing else, we'll take him. We'll take him because he's all we got. But they're thinking these other two guys, we got them. So we need your testimony to nail these guys. He testified. These guys got off. Case remains debated.
Even if he testified, even if he didn't testify, they needed him to testify because they still didn't have enough proof.
The bottom line is this. You are very judgmental on Ray Lewis. A lot of it is because you just don't like him because he's a Raven. And the fact that we've been doing this show for 2 years and this is all coming out now, we've had numerous conversations about the Ravens, and at no point in time did you or anybody, people now want to come out and criticize this guy after he wins the Super Bowl. I think it's the lowest form of hypocrisy out there. If you have a problem with him, then the problem should you or anybody else, then it should have been aired 12 years ago. Not now when he wins the Super Bowl. Now everyone wants to bring it up and throw it in his face. I just don't think it's fair. You know, you can't take away what this guy's done on the football field over the last 12 years, you know. And you can't like our system when it does what you want it to do, but when it goes in a different direction that we don't agree on, all of a sudden we're going to criticize it. This is our system. This is what we have. This is the country we live in. And the system says you are innocent until proven guilty. That's the last I knew. Well, as far as I know, he wasn't proven guilty. Bottom line. Yet he's being treated like a murderer? It's not fair. It's not fair. Bottom line. The guy deserves more. The guy has given more to this game. He's given more to this league. And there's a reason why people – hey, I'm not a Ray Lewis fan. I think I'm the one that came on here and said that last show. But I respect the man for what he's done on that football field. And this is what we're talking about. What has he done on that football field? And if he feels that God is his influence and that's who he wants to praise, whether it rubs me the wrong way or not, it's his right. And now that the man is sitting on top is not the time. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, let's see what happens if Ben gets back to the Super Bowl. I will bet you any amount of money no one brings up the rape case. Won't come up. And to me, why wouldn't it?
I still hear about that, man. I hear about that all the time. I don't know if that's true. People hate Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, people probably go at you because you're a Steelers fan and because you can have opinions like this against Ray Lewis, so they got to have something against you. And that's something they can have against you. So, of course,
I hear about the Ben Roethlisberger thing a lot, not even when this is about, just in general. I mean,
I don't hear about it. I don't hear about it on the news. I didn't hear anything about it this season. Train, did you hear anything about it all season?
Man, no, not since they finished it.
Ooh, ain't heard about it.
Not that I catch every bit of news, but
and I don't
know.
Well, AFC, I don't care who goes to the Super Bowl, so I almost hope your team gets there just so we can see, so we can be on this show, and I can say to you, how come they're not mentioning a rape case, K-Star? So I bet you they won't. Anyway, that's another issue that I won't get into tonight. Train knows where I'm going, but I ain't going to go there tonight. I'm going home. All right. Well, K-Star, let me ask you this. If Ray Lewis doesn't announce that he's retiring, do the Ravens win the Super Bowl?
I don't think so. I mean, their trend of playing is just incredible football. It started when he announced his retirement. Again, we talked about last week when he has something to play for, more than just, you know, your team and everything. When you have just an added reason to perform at a super high level and you're playing for more than just yourself and playing for your teammate and a guy in which, I mean, like him or not, he's loved. He's revered in that locker room. It definitely helps you out. We saw in 05 with the Steelers with Jerome Bettis. Announcing, you know, this is his last year, same thing with Ray Lewis. I don't think it's coincidental that after announcing that, they went on this absolute tear. They played motivated football. I mean, they're a good football team regardless, but again, they just took it to a whole nother level. And I don't see it as being a coincidence at all.
Don't you think either? I mean, I hate to beat a dead horse, but hey, I can. by the way, guys, if anybody wants to call in, you know the number, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, the Madden Voice here live with Commissioner T, Dr. Train, and K-Star talking about the hottest NFL topics and of course, reviewing the Super Bowl. So call in, send us a tweet. Chat room is open. Want to shout out to Adam from Australia. He's there, and we got his comments flowing live in the chat room. And I wonder, there's another guy that sent me a message from Australia. I wonder if it's a friend of Adam's or not, but got a shout-out from another guy on the website, and he said he's from Australia. So, Adam, if it's you spreading the word, thanks. And if not, they want you to know there's someone else trying to take your Australian mantle out there. So the other side of the world, the Madden Voice reaches all four corners of the globe. 347-838-9525. Go to Facebook and like us, please. And, of course, we are on Twitter. And if you like, you can always send us a tweet. Just go at the Madden Voice, and we'll all see it. And, you know, we'll comment, respond, you know, however the case may be. But I hate to beat a dead horse, but to me it just shows the greatness of this guy to, in my opinion, he knew what he was doing. In my opinion, you know, he knew, because he knows that team. I mean, and he figured, I'm leaving anyway. I'm done anyway. So I'm going to put it out there now. And, yeah, maybe he is an attention hound. I ain't got no problem with that. You know, who doesn't like attention? So, yeah, he got more attention, but he also woke his team up. Because I believe they lost the last 4 out of 6 or 4 out of 5 or something. You know, they weren't playing all that well. And, you know, really woke his team up. But, you know, one problem, and I want to get Train's thoughts on this, is, you know, if I'm the coach and I see that this team turned it on after finding out that Ray Lewis was retiring, I got to ask myself, why didn't they have it turned on before that? I got to ask myself, why is it that it took that to wake this team up and not anything else? You know, I mean, I see a negative side of that. You know, it's, to me, it's not the same as the Colts playing for their head coach. To me, it's a little bit different because, you know, now you're talking about this guy's life, you know, and when life's threatened, it certainly can bring that nothing else maybe can bring out of you. So I'm not going to, I think that's different. But this is just a teammate leaving the game. Granted, you know, a pretty exceptional teammate, but still, why wasn't that motivation there before is my question. Train, any thoughts on that?
Well, that's a good question. But I don't know if it was, how can I say? Well, the one fact is that the Ravens were missing players before the, throughout the season. They were missing some players. I mean, they did lose Ray Lewis to injury for a matter of weeks. And then they also started off the season without Terrell Suggs. So, I mean, they did get healthy just before the playoffs. So you have to take that into consideration. And, I mean, for me, dude, it is what it is. I mean, here's a guy who John Harbaugh knows can inspire his team. So, man, if that's what it takes, or if that's what it took, then that's just what it took. Now, moving forward, how will the team perform? We don't know. Really, in order to get a gauge of whether whether it was truly Ray Lewis or not, you have to see what the Ravens are next year. Then you can actually get a really good gauge to say, okay, yeah, it really was Ray Lewis. Okay, this team really was the team. I think it's a combination of both this year, quite honestly. They were the team. They started out 6-2. Even when K-Star said they were finished at 6-2, now they're Super Bowl champs.
I'm sorry, I just want to make sure. What was that? What did you say?
Even when you call them done at 6-2, now they're Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they are a good team, regardless of how you feel. And that offense came alive in the playoffs. You know, Ray Lewis plays one side of the ball, defense. And he can make some guys run through a brick wall. And I'm sure his words are, if not the same, somewhat inspiring to the offense. But the offense played well in the playoffs, man. No interceptions, I whack up for Flacco. The same. So,
well, in touch,
I think you have to wait.
What did you say?
11 touchdowns, 0 picks for Flacco this postseason.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Joe Montana level.
Yeah.
And please, no one mistake me for comparing Joe Flacco to Joe Montana. Sorry. That's not going to happen. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think if I'm the 49ers coach, I'm sorry, if I'm the Ravens coach next year, I mean, I think that's a concern of mine because Ray's gone. And, you know, I'd want to take a look at that. I mean, maybe not now because you won it. You got your ring, and we'll see. But it's certainly something that I'd want to look at. Let me stay with you, Train, for a minute. Frank Gore says that they were the better team.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. Were they?
No. You were the better team, you would have won the game.
Now, we think it went out. Let's be honest. There are times that the better team doesn't win. We can agree. So
I won't discount that at all. See, I won't disagree with that statement that you just made. There are some times where, you know, a team gets you, you know, no matter how talented you are. But, you know, these teams, two teams going in, and we talked about it leading up to this, in the past 2 weeks, they were pretty evenly matched. You know, they may have an edge. One team may have an edge here and there, but they were pretty evenly matched teams. So it came down to who wanted it the most. And that's what I consider the better team. If you're evenly matched and you're the team that brings it out, then you're the better team today.
So you picked the 49ers. Do you think they were the better team?
No, not on Sunday. I mean, I feel like they probably have a better collection of talent, but I mean, let's be honest, the Ravens, the way they won, really wasn't fluky at all. I mean, they generated some turnovers. They played better on special teams, obviously, with the special teams touchdown, and they just played really well. Joe Flacco played a great game. I mean, he outplayed Kaepernick. Ray Rice moved the ball. I mean, I just don't see how necessarily San Francisco let them off the hook. I mean, it was a close game, obviously. They had a chance to win, but I don't see how they were. I'm sure Frank Gore, to me, just sounds like sour grapes, man. And I picked the Niners, but I just maybe a better collection of talent. They really didn't show on Sunday. The Ravens just outplayed them.
You know, I have to say that I was disappointed in a lot of the things I heard from the Ravens. I'm sorry, from the 49ers. I don't think their coach was very gracious in defeat. You know, I heard a couple of interviews, you know, from the players talking about Crabtree being held and all of that. And, you know, I want to say, did they not remember being down 28-6 to this team? You know, I really felt like, you know, there were so many things they did wrong as a team. And, yes, you put yourself in position to win in the end, but why did you have to go down three scores like that in the first place? And I was really disappointed. And this is why I don't like the 49ers coach. This is why I don't like him, even though I know they're brothers and all that. I just got the sense that he's just, you know, even when I saw them at halftime, I mean, at the end of the game, you know, I think Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy gave each other more love at the end of their game than these two coaches did, you know? I just, you know, this guy, yeah, I get it. He's ultra competitive, but that's your brother. And you knew someone had to lose, you know? And, yeah, it hurts. I get it. But that's your brother. I mean, if there's any one guy that you shouldn't, that you can walk away from and still be proud is, well, you know, I lost to my brother, my older brother. He got me again. And that's why I told you guys, that intangible, older brother, younger brother, and it played out. But I'm just really disappointed in the 49ers, an organization that I've always considered to be a class organization. I'm really disappointed in what I saw their reaction to losing this game. I don't think that's what a class organization does. And I hope somebody addresses that in San Francisco. I really, really do, because it just I didn't like it. You know, you win with grace and you lose with dignity. And I didn't see as much of that as I would have thought. You know, what's his name didn't even come out and do a locker room post. You know, the quick post game interview. He refused. You know, really, it's a Super Bowl, bro. It's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You know, it's a Super
Bowl. Pretty childish, man. Like, not. I'm sure he'll be getting fined because that's ridiculous.
That's the you don't have to do that interview. So no, they can't.
You don't have
that.
To.
No, the podium one is the one you have to do, and he did that one. But the locker room one, you don't have to. Optional.
Okay.
So they won't fine.
Yeah. Still.
Last week or 2 weeks ago, either it's optional. I think
right.
It's just. I think to me, you know, if
you're
you
off
can get up,
brother.
You need to get up when you lose. You know. Period.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Flacco MVP, K-Star, deserved or not?
I thought it was deserved. I mean, the guy was on fire in that first half. The reason why they got up so big was because of his great level of play. You know, he was making throws down the field. He was accurate with the ball, and, I mean, you know, they converted 4 touchdowns in the red zone. Great deal by Joe Flacco. I mean, I didn't really see who else could have been MVP for the Ravens. I mean, he threw 3 touchdowns. He was in great command of that game. He looked comfortable, and when he put points on the board, he threw 3 touchdowns, and your team wins. I mean, it's hard to say this guy didn't deserve MVP. I mean, I guess maybe Jacoby Jones had a case because he caught a touchdown and ran one back, but Joe Flacco had a really good game. And I know they tailored off in the second half, the Ravens did, but they still made enough plays in the fourth quarter, you know, Flacco did, to steal the ball game. And I felt it was well deserved. Again, the only person I could see that maybe had a case was Jacoby Jones, but I think Flacco did a bit more.
Train?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely deserved. And that dude, you know, pretty much proved all his critics wrong about how well he can play the quarterback position because he played it well. You throw 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, man, hats off to you. He built a lead that pretty much the Ravens didn't give up.
I agree. I don't have quite the enthusiasm that you guys have. I thought Jacoby Jones was one punt return or another kickoff, good kickoff return away. Maybe not another touchdown, but a good one from getting that MVP. He did have 2 touchdowns and the longest kickoff return in NFL history, which really blew the game wide open in the second half.
Yeah.
He can't help that the defense allowed the 49ers to come back. That's, you know, the offense and special teams is not – they can't do that. But I really was I didn't think he did enough to get MVP, but I really thought if he had one more good return – you know, one more to the other, you know, the other field position, 40, 50-yard return, I really felt like, okay, offensive touchdown, special teams touchdown, and now you start looking at all-purpose yards and all that, I really was sitting there in his corner like, come on, man, get another return, because I really wanted him to get it because I called him getting – I said he was going to get one before the end of the game. You know, I said he's going to get one before the end of the game. And
he was 1 yard short of the record they changed in on him.
1 yard short of?
Doesn't matter. The record return. They changed it on him. First they had it as a 109. They changed it to a 108.
Yeah, it's tied. He tied it. 108 record. So he tied it. He had it, and then they took a yard away. And I saw it, and it was 108. So he tied it. So he still got it, but he doesn't have it alone. But I thought he was very close. I thought Flacco played a good game. I thought that, you know, in this particular case, I have to just be honest to say, I thought there were some throws he made that the receivers really made him look a little bit better. I mean, Anquan Boldin made some catches, bro. And Boldin's the real deal. I was really happy for him with what he went through in Arizona, and then you know that hit that everyone saw him take, and he had to have.
Oh yeah.
You know, reconstruction surgery, rebuild his jaw and all that, and to come back and win the Super Bowl, I'm real, real happy for him. But I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Flacco didn't play a good game. He did. He played a good game. He didn't, no turnovers. He threw, 67%, 3 touchdowns. And I do understand that, yeah, these guys made great catches, but someone had to throw the ball, and I get that. But I really thought that some of those catches Boldin made really were as much on Boldin as on Flacco. If not, maybe Boldin really, you know, there were some pretty damn good catches. But, hey.
I mean,
you know,
one play I remember in particular, let me cut you off real quick. It's just, like, there's a play, I believe it was 3rd down, they're rolling out. It was like Flacco was throwing the ball out of bounds, and Boldin just bodied, man. Boldin just skied up and just snatched the ball and made an incredible play on it. I mean, that guy was making incredible catches all night, to your point.
To me, that's all Boldin. That's
Yeah, no. I agree with that. That was definitely Boldin.
agree that was all Boldin, not the one that was downfield.
The one that was that he was running out of bounds?
The one that was way downfield, about a good, 20, 30 yards, and Flacco chunked it up there. Yeah. He had an edge on his man to the sideline. He darn sure made a play on the ball. But for Flacco to escape the sack that he escaped, running to the sideline, and didn't have enough guts to even make that throw instead of just throwing the ball out of bounds. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I
have to give equal credit. I think you give equal credit on that one. If any catch I give Boldin, I give the one that I don't know how
Don't go to another play. Hold on. Stick with this one for a second. I will agree with you on the escape. The escape was all Flacco that he was able to get away. But that catch, I don't know how.
That was great.
Yeah, that was an incredible catch. And to stay in bounds on the sideline like that? And you're going to say that was 50-50? Dude, man.
That ball wasn't that. If you saw the placement of that ball, it left plenty of room for Bolden to make the catch. And his whole body fell in bounds.
Because
two feet and elbow, and the ball was placed where it wasn't sailing out of bounds. It was actually placed in the field of play.
I think you're
under the
faulty level of that catch. I think Bolden just made it look that easy. That was a hell of a catch. You know, I thought that was a hell of a catch on Bolden's part. I think he just made it look a lot easier than it really was. You know, you're running to the sidelines. He's running. I mean, all your momentum is carrying you, and he's able to gather himself and stop and get up, get that ball and stay in bounds. Man, with the defense on you, hell of a play. I actually played a little wide receiver in my competitive days, and I mean, I'm not saying I played on that level, because hell no, but man, I watched that, and I'm like, wow. I thought that was, I thought the play that Flacco made a good throw was in the seam when he got Bolden over the middle. I thought that was a great throw that he had to throw right over the defensive, the linebacker that was playing kind of shallow. He had to get the ball over the linebacker and get it right into Bolden's hands and allow Bolden time to come down and bounce it in the end zone. I thought that was a great throw by Flacco, and I give him a lot of credit for that one, more so than the other throw. But
that one was even a good route on Bolden.
What's that now?
He sold it. That was even a good route on Bolden because he sold inside. He sold the slant and then cut upfield, and it made Bowman sit.
Yeah, but I think Flacco also looked him off for a second too before he threw the ball. I think Bolden bit. Bolden bit on Flacco too, though. It wasn't just. Yeah, because the safety was there, and the safety kind of got looked off too. It was like both the inside linebacker and the safety, like for a split second, forgot about Bolden, and then Flacco just placed that ball, man, like right. I mean, like right on point. Actually, I think they're about to show the play now on NFL Network. Oh no, that's not.
They're showing all the
things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go to the phone lines. 424. Welcome to the Matt Voice.
That's
I forget that's your number. All right. I just killed you. You with us?
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Okay. All right. Let's start season ending awards. We've got, let's start with arguably the biggest award, MVP Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson's in your division train. Any problem with him winning the MVP?
Man, absolutely not. Because he darn sure wheeled that team into the playoffs. Especially with Percy Harvin being gone like that. I mean, I figured Minnesota was done. I wasn't going to say it, but I didn't think he was going to just be able to carry that team like that. And he did a heck of a job because, you know, their defense only needed to make some stops here and there. And what they were able to do on offense, and this guy being a one-man show and being able to defeat, you know, Chicago and Green Bay to get into the playoffs, huge. And Houston, all teams that were considered better than Minnesota.
Okay. K-Star, any I think you had thought maybe Peyton Manning. What do you think?
No, I mean, I have no issue with Adrian Peterson winning, man. He will have seen the playoffs. This was a team that I believe that was 2-14. If not 3-13 last season, and him just coming back this year and nearly breaking the rushing record, just putting that S on his chest and putting that cape on, man, he just delivered an incredible, one of the greatest regular seasons for a running back I've ever seen personally. So I have no issues with it at all. He was just amazing this season.
Yeah, I agree, and I think all the talk about whether he should win comeback player of the year, I think is ridiculous because he got hurt in the last game of the season before.
Yeah.
He wasn't gone to really have this comeback. I know he was injured, but I think that's ridiculous. I think that's Peyton Manning, hands down. That's Chiefs award. You know, end of discussion. Peyton Manning should be looking forward to getting the comeback player of the year.
Which he rightfully won.
I mean, to me, it's not even a contest. But, I agree. I agree with that. When we talked about it, he every accolade that he gets, he deserves. He's the best winner.
Yeah, agreed.
Who is making all the noise? All right, settle in, train. Number two, Andrew Luck, and right behind him by one vote was Russell Wilson. K-Star, any issue?
Not really. It's not like you could really go wrong, honestly, with any of those three guys. All three had a legitimate case. I have no issues with Robert Griffin winning. I felt like Luck probably had they all had arguments. I mean, Luck, I believe, had more wins than the other two guys did as far as the team goes, and a little bit, I feel like, a least talented roster of the three quarterbacks. But, I mean, he can't go wrong with Robert Griffin. He was a beast this year. His quarterback rating was over 100. That whole offense they had was based around, you know, Robert Griffin's skill set. It wouldn't be possible without, you know, Robert Griffin's skill set, and they won the ultra-competitive NFC East. And, you know, they also won a playoff game. So, they didn't win a playoff game, sorry. But they were just, I mean, Robert Griffin had a great season. And, again, I mean, whoever won, I wouldn't have had an issue with. To me, it's apples and oranges. Those guys were all just three phenomenal rookie quarterbacks.
Train, any issue? RG3, rookie of the year?
No, not at all. I mean, that's a tight race. I mean, I know the voting goes the way it goes, but I think it's a tight race between them three. Here you have Russell Wilson, who was chosen to be a starter over a guy who, you know, over Flynn, who we thought was going to be the guy. He got paid the money, and, you know, Pete Carroll makes a gutsy call, and he takes to the playoffs. And, you know, no one thought the Redskins would make the playoffs, let alone win the division. And lo and behold, they win it because of the play of RG3. And it just goes without saying for Andrew Luck. He turned the team around. They were 2-14, and they ended up being a playoff team. So, I mean, three rookie quarterbacks taking their teams to the playoff. I mean, it's just, you can't go wrong with either one that you pick.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to add. I think that all three of these guys played at a very high level. And, you know, it will be interesting because a lot of their games, all three of them, well, two of them at least, not really Luck, but Wilson and RG3 are based on the red option or read option or pistol, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens next year. I stick by my guns and say that if teams come in next year and that's their whole offense, that they're going to get shut down and it's going to become a tool and not primary you know, way that offenses run next year, these defenses are going to come out and they're going to have a fix for it. You know, they got all season to prepare, and just like we saw the Wildcat really kind of wither into obscurity. I mean, it's there, but not anything like it was when the Dolphins were running it with Ronnie Brown. It's going to be the same situation where it'll be a tool, but it's not going to be the main offense. And then it'll be interesting to see next year, because I do think that these guys have the ability to throw the ball, but when you take away the run option or reduce it, let's see now when they really have to sit there in the pocket for the most part, maybe move around a little bit, but not like they've done this year. It'll be interesting to see how good these guys really are next year. I'm curious. Or are they going to have the sophomore blues like Cam Newton, you know, the guy that K-Star put in the Hall of Fame. Walter Payton Man of the Year was Jason Witten. I don't know if you guys have an opinion on it, but I just want to say, first of all, congratulations. you know, Jason Witten, you know, I, of course I follow the Cowboys closely and I follow, you know, what a lot of the players do. And, you know, Jason Witten is just a guy that anybody should want to have on their team, based on what he does on and off the field. He's a leader in the community. He does so many things, you know, outside of the Cowboys organization. And that's why he got the Man of the Year, Walter Payton Man of the Year. For anybody who doesn't know, that is not for so much on-the-field excellence as it is. Walter Payton was a big philanthropist. He did a lot of good with the money that he made and used his name in the Chicago area and really, you know, was just a pillar in his community. And this award is named after him for that reason. And so I think Jason Witten is very deserving. I'm glad he finally got recognized for all the things he does out in the community, and I'm really happy for him. And it's really nice for the Cowboys, you know, with Josh Brent, Jay Ratliff, and, you know, firing Rob Ryan and, you know, all that controversy. It's nice for them to get a little bit of positive press. So I'm really happy for Jason Witten and for the Cowboy organization. It's like, whew, thank you. No one got arrested this week. You know, someone actually got an award. Yay! So
I would have to say I'm only a little biased because I was hoping Charles Tillman would get that. I mean, like you say, you follow the Cowboys a lot, so I do the same on Chicago. And sure, Charles Tillman's name is always mentioned, especially when coming to deal with, like, the armed forces. He's always going over there whenever he can, sure, or he's getting involved with them whenever he can.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think it's great. I think more and more NFL players, you know, that are in a position to do things with their name or with their money or with their connections should. You know, I think that's, you know, to me, I'm sorry, when you get on a level like that and you're making that kind of money and have that kind of notoriety, you know, to me, what do you do with it? You know, certainly you take care of your friends and family and you buy your houses and in your college funds and invest in businesses and make sure everybody's squared away. But at some point, I mean, Bill Gates Foundation has given away over $26 billion, you know, and so, you know, and let us be clear that Bill Gates has not earned $26 billion. People see net worth and think that it's cash. Net worth is based on stock and the value of the stock that he owns in Microsoft. Bill Gates has not made $26 billion in his life. Trust me on that. But yet his foundation has given away $26 billion. And I just think that, you know, to me, and that's why, just as an aside, it's why I can kind of like take a deep breath when we talk about a Lance Armstrong and say, yeah, he shouldn't have did what he did and he shouldn't have lied. And I agree wholeheartedly, but also know that the Livestrong organization and foundation has given over $500 million to cancer research. I can't ignore that. And all of that is based on this man and what he's done. Now, I'm not condoning performance-enhancing drugs. I'm not performing lying. I'm not condoning some of the strong-arm tactics that we know he did to people that tried to bring him down. I'm not saying any of that is correct, but I'm saying let's not forget the other side of what he was able to do. And, you know, you can't just dismiss it. And I think when you get to that level, which is my main point, I kind of think, you know, if I ever got to that level, I would feel an obligation to, and I don't like the term give back. To me, it's snobby. It's not giving back. It's doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. You know, there are people out there that just don't have the resources, that don't, you can't help themselves. And if you're in a position that you can give money or time to help, then you do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, period. You don't give back. Oh, I hate that term. But you do it because it's the right thing to do. And a guy like Jason Witten, I love it. Charles Tillman doing it. Love it. And anybody else out there in the NFL or NBA or actors or actresses or rappers, you know, or singers or performers, hey, that's what should be done. You know, you're blessed with a talent that has generated millions and millions of dollars, in many cases probably more money than you or your kids or their kids can ever spend. So what can you do to leverage those resources and help do things like get rid of cancer, or help do things like Bill Gates is out there doing, which is trying to eradicate child polio. You know, I think that's the right thing to do, and I'm glad to hear about it. And those are the things, if I can just one more second, this is not my T-Bonics, but one more second, that I wish the press would cover more. You know, you they'll spend 20 minutes talking about Ray Lewis and the murder trial, and Jason Witten getting covered for being man of the year got 15 seconds. You know, 15 seconds. That's what they gave it, and it was done. You know, and I really don't think that that's – and I don't care. It has nothing to do with it being Jason Witten. That has something to do with something positive. You know, focus on that. Let's get behind that. I just
how media is, man. I mean, negativity sells, I guess. I mean, it's unfortunate that people would rather hear about people's troubles or issues. I think it's kind of like the miserless company kind of saying, but I absolutely agree. I feel like we'd be awesome. I would love to hear more positive stories. I'd love to hear more about, you know, stuff like what Jason Witten's doing or what Bill Gates is doing, rather than all the corrupt greed that's, you know, that takes place on a daily basis and stuff like that. I mean, but I guess it's just kind of the society, unfortunately, we live in. It's what sells. It's just unfortunate.
Well, you know, but we create the society. You know, it's our society. It's mine. It's yours. It's Strange. This is our society. You know, we don't have to stand back and allow it to be any particular given way. We really don't. And I think one of the reasons that we have the Mad Voice is to allow us to see what we can impact. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, how many people take what we say seriously and do the things that we talk about or whatever, but I'll tell you, you know, I'm glad that we have a platform to try to impact people's lives and to make a difference. And I think everyone should figure out a way to try to do that. And if they can't, well, come on our show and we'll give you the floor. We'll give you a platform to impact people's lives, because I agree with you, K-Star. You know, yeah, negativity sells, and that's what they want. Sell newspapers and airtime and advertising. But it gets to the point where you just don't want to watch TV anymore. You know, it's just aggravating. You know, it's just.
Yeah, I try my best not to watch too much of the news, because it's so much of it is just, it's you know, it's sad, it's depressing, it's negative. Not to say I don't watch any because I still, you know, I'm tracking myself, you know, informed and everything, but it's just, it's depressing, man. I hope and hope that there's other shows that kind of take the motto we do and try to report more good than bad, because it's really what's important.
All right, Train, anything on that? Any? Did you want to add anything? Are you good?
I do this. I'm about the same as K-Star. That's why I don't want to watch the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Something bad happens, someone will call and tell me. Because that's what people do.
You know, I'm getting to the point, and I really don't want to get too far off of football, but I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to go on Facebook anymore. Some of the garbage that people say on Facebook. I mean, I had a high school friend of mine who it's in remission now, has breast cancer. You know, she sent me a message. She's actually moving back to my town and wanted me to know that she'd be back down here next month. And she's hoping a group of us can get together. We did it a couple years back. And unfortunately, since then, one of my friends our friends passed away since then. So it'll be kind of odd to meet up, and he's not going to be there. But nevertheless, she just wanted to give me a heads up. And then she said something really, really nice. She said, I really like your Facebook updates. They really make me smile. They're so positive and reassuring. Train. Sorry, man. They just showed that play again, man. I mean, Flacco.
Yeah, it was 2 feet in. I saw it. It was 2 feet in. It was a good catch. I got two plays mixed up.
Yeah, okay. So you got me, man, because I'm like, damn, man. But anyway. You know, she said, you know, about my post, and I try as much as I can. I have a lot of Facebook friends, and I try to uplift people as much as I can. I haven't had, you know, I've been going through my trials and tribulations myself, you know. But, I mean, why sit there and bitch and whine about it? You know, you just proceed on and try to make the best you can, because we've got life and a lot of people don't. You know what I'm saying? And so it really touched me that she said that she reads my post, because I've never seen her like or comment on any of my posts. You know, you can like things and comment. I've never seen her do it, so I didn't realize it. And yet she said that it brightens up her day, you know, and it made me feel really good. And I think that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff we need to be doing. I saw something today on Facebook, and I know I'm getting way off of football, but it so aggravated me, and it's somebody that I know that put up there about people on welfare having to take drug tests. And it's so prejudicial and so just misinformed, and I don't want to get on that. I'm not going to talk about that issue, but all I'll say is like kind of what I said to K-Star earlier. People learn and research things before you have an opinion, okay? And don't just see something, like it, and jump on a bandwagon because on the surface, it makes sense. Because many times you'll find out if you do your own research and use your own independent thought that you might find out that there's more to it than what meets the eye and that it may not make the sense that you think it makes. So just have an opinion based on what you truly believe, and then I ain't got no problem with you. We can agree or disagree because it's based on your own individual beliefs. But come at it the right way, not just because you read through four sentences and, oh, yeah, that makes sense, I agree, because you may find that that's not the case. That's why I'm getting a little irritated with Facebook now. It's just becoming propaganda. And it's supposed to be a place to meet and mingle and, you know, reconnect and connect and, you know, share nice things. Yeah, it should be positive. And it's really not becoming that anymore. But anyway, I digress, guys. I'm sorry. I just get on a roll. And head coach of the year, Bruce Arians. I think his name is Bruce. The head coach of now the Arizona Cardinals, but was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And nice honor to be, you know, interim head coach and get a coach of the year. That's a pretty nice honor. K-Star, any issues with the coach of the year award?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It kind of sucks, man, because, again, this was a guy who was our offensive coordinator, and now he's just going off winning awards and being a head coach. It's just but, yeah, man, he did a great job because he basically coached the Colts all season long. Pagano was only there for a couple of games. And he did a great job with, honestly, overachieved with the talent that they had. And, you know, fielded a playoff team. 11-5 record the Colts finished off this season with. And while he didn't, you know, achieve all 11 wins, I believe he got 10 of those with Indy this season. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it's the first time ever an interim coach ever won Coach of the Year. I can't remember any that have before he did. And, you know, his offense was very successful with Andrew Luck, the down-the-field pass attack, which, again, hurts me to see. But, you know, props to Bruce Arians, and it landed him a head coaching job this season, this upcoming season.
Trey?
No, I don't have any problem with it. Heck, we almost hired him as our head coach. He was one of the last two finalists. It was either him or Trestman. And, I thought for sure they'd probably go with Bruce Arians, but I think he did a great job down there in Indianapolis, especially with, you know, losing the guy that was supposed to be the head coach. You know, he was brought in to be the coordinator, not the head coach, and I just think he did a really good job having a rookie quarterback and, you know, bringing a team back that was 2-14 the previous year.
Yeah, I thought long and hard. The only reason that I had a different position, but that's the one point I can't refute. I mean, here's a guy who was a coordinator and unexpectedly became the head coach and did a great job. And I can't argue that. And so for that reason, I agree. But I really thought that Shanahan in Washington should have got Coach of the Year if that wasn't the case. I mean, the same type of job with a rookie quarterback. But let's go one step further. They didn't have, you know, the number two pick. They actually had, you know, talk about, you know, making a power move and move up to number two to get the number two pick. So, you know, this was a team that didn't have the number two pick, but made the moves they need to make to get the number two pick and then, you know, take their team, you know, from 3-6 and, you know, win the NFC East. They should have gotten it. But because of that one point that Train just made, K-Star may have made it too. I can't refute that. This guy wasn't even supposed to be the head coach, and you know he goes in as a head coach, and you know has a great season, gets to the playoffs. So he should absolutely win it. I can't. So, all right. We are at the end of the show, and as promised, like to do a special year ending last. Kind of got away from it for a few shows. But you know, that I'm doing this on purpose because I want it recorded for posterity because I need to know, and so does the Madden world, the Madden Nation, the Madden Voice Nation, if you will, needs to know First of all, Dr. Train, we're going to start with you. You know, what are your plans for the future with the Madden voice? Can we count on you returning to the another season?
It's like a contract extension, like in front of the fans. Yeah, man, absolutely. I'll be back. I mean, I would have been here for. I've acclimated to my surroundings and my job and everything, and I have a better, you know, won't be so, you know, crazy like it was when I first got here and we kept moving the times and the dates and stuff, so definitely.
Okay. And let's go over to K-Star. K-Star, live on the air, what are you doing? Are you returning to the Madden Vaults or not?
Unfortunately, my agent is a little tied up right now, and I would rather keep me here, but I'm just going to let you know that we agreed to renew our contract with the Madden voice, and we will be back for at least one more season.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right, all right. And obviously, I ain't going anywhere. Although let us not assume that Commissioner T will always be here. But because you never know how things happen. I mean, there have been things that I've done in my life and walked away from and had other people run them. And so you never know. I could one day decide, hey, well, you know what, guys? Maybe you guys should take the show in another direction without me. Who knows? But that's not the case now. I will be back for another year as well, that's for sure. And, you know, and before we do our interview, I just want to say a couple things I want to say. First of all, let me just say this. I want to thank Train and K-Star because we do not get paid to do this. This is complete 100% volunteer of our individual's time to do something. I mean, volunteer might be a strong word because when I think of volunteering, I think of going down to a soup kitchen or something like that. So I'll say this is something we choose to do like a hobby, if you will. Although for me, it's a little bit deeper than a hobby, but our passion of football, we just can't lock it in, and we use this platform to get our passion for football out. And I know it's exciting for me every week to come on and do the show, and it's very exciting because I have two guys that love football as much as I do, that love their teams as much as I do. And, you know, we don't always agree, but, you know, how boring would life be if we agreed? But to me, it's just, you know, when Train agreed to come on full time, it was just like opening up another whole world of football knowledge and football positions. And then, you know, when K-Star also decided to come aboard, you know, it was like it allowed us to keep our tie to the Madden community, which I think was very important because that's our roots, that's our foundation. But it also allowed us to bring another completely different perspective on things and an AFC guy because, you know, I'm Cowboys, Train's Bears, and we really don't have the deep AFC that K-Star has. Well, I also bring an AFC guy onto the team, and I think it's been a really good relationship. And I really think that what we're going to commit to is really thinking of what we can do differently and what we can do better. Let us not rest on our laurels. What can we do to make the Madden Voice radio show even more relevant than it is? What can we do to really draw attention to the things we talk about? There have been too many times on this show this year that things that we have said have been regurgitated and reiterated by mainstream NFL. Too many times. And there's a reason for that. Number one is because we know what we're doing. We know what we're talking about. But number two, I think we underestimate how many people really are checking us out. You know, remember, I do broadcast live from Bristol, Connecticut, just saying. Anyway, I do want to thank you guys for everything they've done to make the Madden Voice one of the top shows on Blog Talk Radio. That said, K-Star, the floor is yours. Your season-ending sound off.
So, first of all, I want to apologize to K-Star Nation out there for a couple things. Not hosting the show. That will be fixed next year. I will host hopefully numerous shows next season. I don't want to take the job away from T because he's honestly incredible at it. But I do want to apologize for not actually hosting at all this season. And let me just own up to it. I mean, I said the Ravens were dead at 6-2, guys. Well, I tried to hold on to that as best as I could. And, I mean, you know, as a Steelers fan, maybe I'm slightly biased against Baltimore. But I do want to say that it's very tough to predict a Ravens retirement. That really felt just threw a monkey wrench into this whole Ravens are dead thing. So, honestly, it's part of the reason why I hate Ray Lewis. He killed me this season. And, you know, he made me look bad. The Ravens made me look bad. Congratulations to them, because I didn't really say it earlier. Not a Ravens fan at all, but this is a team that's been really good for a really long time. They just haven't gotten over the hump. And it all started, honestly, last season when they took down the Steelers and continued this year. It's, they continue to grow and get better and do it all. And one last thing I want to say is that he just, you know, said that we have, you know, ties to the Madden community. Well, I just want to let everyone know that this Saturday I will be competing in the Virgin Gaming Tournament, the Madden Challenge Finals this season, for $400,000 given out in cash. First place is $140,000 this Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, competing and doing what I do. I put a lot of work into it. My social life this past month has been terrible because of it. But, you know, sometimes life has to make sacrifices. Sometimes you have goals, and it's one of my goals to win this thing. And honestly, if I win, I'm retired from Madden. So I really want to do it. I kind of just need to do this. And I'm really excited for this Saturday. And I just want to thank T and Train. While sometimes my opinions may be unconventional, even at times offensive, they, at the end of the day, know that I'm not trying to hurt, offend, or, you know, really cast off anyone. These are my genuine thoughts, and that I'm glad to be able to share them with two great analysts as well. And I just want to thank you guys and thank everyone who listens.
Wow. All right. Well said. Wow, that might be your shining moment of the season, man. That's
about time.
Yeah. I like it. All right, Train, the floor is yours.
Oh wow, is it my philosophy or is it my ending words? What am I doing again? All of it.
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay.
You have an NFL issue. Focus on you can, and then want to circle back around.
I'll say one small issue I did kind of discuss with a friend of mine was the whole big thing on NFL safety. And I'm glad it's being looked at. As much as I love football, these guys got to have a life outside of football, because it's entertaining to watch some of them become analysts and see their opinions from former players. You know, some people are, you know, some of the guys, that they're not able to do that, you know, due to any major injuries they may suffer. So it's definitely good that the league is paying attention to it. But from my standpoint, I think if you're going to fix the safety of football, then you have to start with Pop Warner. You have to start where football is taught. You know, some of these guys have been playing football since they were kids. Pop Warner leaves the league, grade school, high school, and then, you know, on to college. So I think you have to start with safety from there at the same time as and you know, hit all the levels of football so that when you get to the NFL, these guys know how to fundamentally make tackles so that they don't injure themselves. And I understand the speed of the game may change that, you know, the guys having to think on their feet, but, you know, it's the nature of the beast. But I think if it's taught properly, if you're taught not to lead with your helmet, if you're taught to wrap up, if you're taught to hit with your shoulder, not with your head, you know, you can last a lot longer in this game, you know.
Okay.
But other than that, let me just give a few shout outs, man, to some people, some friends of mine who have listened to the show like throughout the year. First to my boy Saint, who is like a honorary co-host. Who doesn't matter what we say will come and challenge us almost every single week if he could. And I definitely appreciate his support, because before T asked me to do this show, me and Zane talked about football every time I went to go get a haircut when I was in Nashville. So I thank him. I thank my girl Desiree. She listens every week. Doc Hart, Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So K-Star, she's like on your side like most of the time. So just know you will always have somebody. And her name, I think her name is One With Scissors in the chat room. Lastly,
okay.
I believe that's her. I believe that's her. I may be wrong, but
Shout out to her, regardless.
Yeah. And also to Erica's family, her mother and her dad, Miss Josie and Bobby Adams from Cincinnati, Ohio. As I have to say the whole thing for his name, but they have supported ever since I told them about the show. They've listened to it when they could, you know. And I try to use it also as a vehicle to let people know that, you know, I did lose a friend, but also I did lose a close friend. But at the same time, we're trying to make people aware of the disease that took her life, and that was triple negative breast cancer. So once again, I had said it before, guys, we just launched a website on our birthday, which was January 22nd, and it's out there, Erica J. Holloman Foundation, Inc., .org. So check it out and just keep yourselves informed. And last but not least, thanks both to T and to K-Star. You guys make this entertaining. The days where I'm kind of, man, I got to do the show, I'm so tired, and you guys get on here and go at each other's throats, I think it gets me going. And T, you mentioned it, you know, when I do host a show, it is a different feeling. You get kind of energized by hosting the show. So K-Star, you know, you definitely need to do it. So I'm glad you're stepping up to do it next season. But it's been an awesome ride this season. And now football season is over with, and I'm a little sad. And clearly Derrick Rose needs to come back so I can have something to watch.
Excellent. All right, let me grab a call real quick. American Views, new caller. Welcome to the Madden Voice. Are you there? All right. Guess I didn't get him in time.
Darn it.
Well, if you want to call back in, we're still live. We haven't gone anywhere. We're saying our goodbyes. They're really not goodbyes. It's kind of, you know, season-ending thoughts. And, you know how I roll. I might be back and do a show Friday. Now, you just never know. I mean, you know, you just got to check your local listings. But, well, first of all, let me say good luck to K-Star in the tournament. It's a huge tournament. And, being that Madden is really how I got involved in doing the Madden Voice, and how I used to be involved. I mean, I was never really a very good gamer, but I played and certainly got involved in the Madden community on many different levels, running a league, being involved with MLG at one point, and the Madden Federation with Bobby and T-Boy and all these guys, and going to the tournaments and, you know, reffing tournaments and stuff. So certainly I have. I'm sorry? What did you say, K-Star?
Did a lot of great stuff for the Madden community, no doubt.
Thank you. And I'm proud of my time that I spent in the Madden community. I have no regrets. And when it was time to move on, that's what I did. And, so certainly wish K-Star all the best and good luck. And, heck, if you do win it, man, we may do a special show just for you, because that's a great honor. And it would be a great way for you, you know, kind of like your nemesis, Ray Lewis, to really walk away on top, you know. So wishing nothing but luck in that. And I have many of the top guys in the community on my Facebook, and it's really warms my heart to follow what they're doing with their lives. You know, Dynasty's bodybuilding now and competing and all of that. I mean, it's just
doing a great job too. He's dedicated.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just love watching the updates, people getting married, and just guys that were young boys and now they're growing up and jumping into this world and making their contributions, and you know, guys that I used to just couldn't stand, and I'm watching getting married and having children. It's like, wow, you know, like it's unbelievable. So, so anyway, congratulations, good luck, K-Star, and I'm sure you'll do well. And Train, you know, when you talk about the Erica J. Holloman Foundation, it only makes me want to do more so that we can elevate that to even a higher level through this show. It only makes me want to make the show even bigger. So for great causes like that, that are very personal to people like yourself, that you have a platform to come on and not just talk to 22 people that may be sitting in a chat room or on the air, but hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And you could say, go to thiswebsite.com, educate yourself. Hey, if you got a couple of dollars, maybe you can contribute, you know, and help research continue. You know, that's what I'd like to ultimately see the Madden Voice be able to do, is impact and make change, not just inform people about football, but really be a venue for us to be able to get some things done. And, you know, I use that as an example because it's a great, great cause for someone that I know you love very much. And if we can do that on this show, then, man, it makes the show that much even more worth it to me. So let's keep that going. You know, when I think about the year and I think about where my life was in September when we started the season and where my life is today, I personally have gone through a lot in the last 6 months of my life, and you guys have heard me refer to it several times on the show as things that I'm going through and accounting and to some degree still going through. And I don't get into details because it's really not the place to do it, but I'll just say it hasn't been fun. But the one thing that I've always had to look forward to is to come on and host the Madden Voice or just be a participant. And I'll train the host, and I'm really happy K-Star is going to step up. To be honest, I think it just, and I appreciate the compliment, but I think it just, it adds a different dimension for our listenership. You know, you hear me hosting all the time, but it's a different show when Train hosts, and now I'm just a participant. And I think it'll be even a more different show, K-Star is being the host, and Train and I are just sitting there being participants. So I want us to do different things like that. But it really, you know, it really helped me realize that there was more to life than the negativity that I was faced with and experiencing, that I could dive into something that I really loved and had a passion for, which is professional football and chopping it up with you guys on a weekly basis and talking about the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Bears and all these other teams. And I truly enjoyed it. And so for that, to really have helped me go through some really rough times, I want to thank Train and K-Star, because if I didn't have you guys, I probably wouldn't have did the show. I probably would have just canceled. I probably would, you know, was really not wanting to let you guys down and the fans that kept bringing me back even when I was at my worst. So thank you guys for that. But that said, you know, here we are in February, and where were we in September, you know, 6 months ago, 5 months ago? And I said, before you know it, it's going to be over. And here we are. It's over, guys. Football is dead and pretty much done until, I mean, really the next biggest event is the Combine. That's about 3 weeks away. And then you got the draft in April. But for us who want to see competitive football, all of those things, they're like, yeah, Band-Aids. They're not the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, so I say this. Yeah, I say this. Enjoy the spring and enjoy your summer, because that's the only good thing about football being gone, is that means the warm weather is coming. So enjoy the spring and enjoy the summer. But the Madden Voice will be back next year, bigger and better than ever. We are going to make this show relevant. We are going to make this show on a level that no other NFL talk radio show that's not sponsored by a major network has seen. Trust me, I have some things in mind, and I'm real glad that these guys are coming back that are really, really going to be innovative, unique, and are really going to have people talking about us. And at some point, someone out there will take note. It's only a matter of time. It's destiny. It's God's will. And if God... I couldn't remember.
That's awesome.
Hey, it probably is. So hey, stick with it.
I like it. I'll allow it. Good.
Thank you. So you know, and I guess the last thing that I just want to say is to all the fans and all the supporters out there. Some of you I know, most of you I don't. For those of you who check us out on the podcast or on the internet, for those of you who are sitting in right now listening on your cell phones or whatever, I just want to say thank you. You know, you have the choice. Just on Blog Talk Radio alone, you got the choice of over 500 NFL talk shows to choose from, and you choose ours. We're honored by that. We are humbled by the fact that you choose our show week after week after week. Thousands of people listen to this show week after week. I am humbled by that. I'm not happy because I want it to be hundreds of thousands, but I'm humbled by those who have chosen us, and I want to say thank you, and I hope we don't let you down. I hope that we have met all of your expectations this season. I hope that we were able to make your NFL season just a little bit brighter and to give you guys a little bit something to look forward to. But I want to ask you all a favor. If you're listening to the Madden Voice right now, I want to ask you all a favor. I want you to join us next season. And I want you to join us in a way that you have not done so before. So try to think of what you can do to be a part of the Mad Voice. We want you to be a part of this show. If it means you call in, then call in. If it means you send us an email, then send an email. If it means you send us a message through Facebook, send us a message through Facebook. My name is Terrence Floyd. Find me on Facebook and send me a personal friend request. I don't care. If you want to send us a tweet on Twitter, then do it. Think of a way to interact with us and take it to another level. Help us help the NFL community. We have a lot to offer. We're the best-kept secret going right now. And those of you who are listening and are dedicated and loyal, you know it. You know that there are things you hear and learn on this show that aren't repeated anywhere else. And if they are, you know they got it from this show, too. I'm telling you now, it would not surprise me to find out that some of the big shows have people that scour the internet and find out what's going on, and that we may not have a couple of listeners out there that are tied to some of the larger shows. Wouldn't bother me in the least bit because we got nothing to hide, but I bet you it's happening. So to all the fans of the Madden Voice, thank you, but help us out. I'm asking you to help us out next year. Help
us. I'll say one last thing to you real quick. Hey, guys, if you have any suggestions at all.
I was going there, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying help you. I was about to say anything that we can do to make the show even better, anything that you think we shouldn't do that we are doing, any special segments, anything at all that you think can make the show even better. I don't care what it is. We have thick skin here. We don't care. If you think I talk too much, then tell me. If you think we're too opinionated, then tell me. If you think one of the things I know that we do that we're going to work on is repeat ourselves. So we're going to stop. We're going to try to stop doing that so much, but it's something we all do, and we're going to keep working on that. But if there's something else that we do that we can get better at, we want the suggestions. We want your advice. We want you to just talk to us. You know, maybe that'll be our slogan for next year. Talk to us on the Madden Voice. And the last thing that I'll say, as we grow, at some point, I got the permission to use the name Madden years ago when I started the Madden Online League, and EA Sports said that it was okay. But I know at some point we're going to get to the point where I'm going to get a call or I'm going to get an email or something, and they're going to say, yeah, you really shouldn't be using the Madden name because you're not affiliated with EA Sports or the Madden NFL football series. And I've had, you know, other entities that I'm associated with already get to that point, and I'm sure that it's going to happen at some point. So we don't want to wait for that. We might get away with it for one more season, but with the growth that I'm expecting, I don't think we're going to be able to keep the name for long. So I'd like, and that includes Train and K-Star's opinions on what we could rename the show. What can we rebrand the show? Think about it in the off season. And anyone who comes up with something, you know, hey, I don't know, we'll figure out a way to recognize you, have you come on the show. If you come up with the winning idea, you can come on the show and talk about yourself. And maybe if you want to, you know, have your girlfriend call in and propose to her, that's fine too. But whatever we can do to make it worth your while. But I really want to start thinking about a new name and brand for the Mad. It's going to be tough to say goodbye to that name because I've had it since 06. We did the show in 08, so I've had it for 5 years, and it's going to be hard to just let that name go, but I know at some point, the bigger we get, they're not going to allow us to use it. So think about it. Any suggestions for the show? Any suggestions for a new name? Please, shoot us a message, any of us a message, and say, had you considered this? Had you considered that? So let me just circle around one last time. Hey, one last time. Any last closing remarks?
Real quick, guys, you can follow me at Ali Quick, AliQuickK. Another way, if you want to reach out to me, maybe you want to leave a suggestion for what I could do better, or if you'd like to hear more, or whatever the case may be, follow me there. I also just want to say real quick that while it's a long way away, the NFL draft, I'm already stoked to see what my Steelers do because this year was unacceptable. And real quick, guys, while I enjoyed the competitive banter between our teams, actually generally for the most part, as through you guys, do want to see our teams all do well because I think it's better when our teams are competing at a high level and playing well, so we can kind of be a part of it and give you guys even better analysis on these three teams. But nonetheless, we will see you guys soon.
Thank you, K-Star. Train, any last final closing remarks?
Other than, man, I'm looking forward to what my Bears are going to look like next season. Hopefully an offensive powerhouse. Since we went so hard at hiring somebody who has a background in offense. And, even though I did my special shout-outs to my friends because I know they listen, like, all the time, I do want to thank everyone for listening to the show. And my other friends that I did mention, whoever supports us, I really want to thank you guys. It's fun when I know we have people that's listening. It kind of pumps me up to make sure I come with it every single show. So thanks.
And let me just recognize Adam. I always recognize Adam because he's very loyal. And calling in, but not working. But he'll try to do more next year. Enjoy our break. And we recognize Adam not because he's better than any other fan, but for us it's kind of special to know that someone on the other side of the world is such a huge fan of the show. And more of you out there around the world, let us know. Hey, we'll shout you out too. I'd like to know where everyone is listening from. To be honest with you, are you in the Middle East somewhere? Are you? I remember one of the first Madden games I ever played online. I played a guy who was in Okinawa in the military, and I played him on Madden. Now, he was from our country, he's actually from New Jersey, but he was in Japan, and I'm playing this guy in a game of Madden online, like one of my first games ever online. So I'd love to know what people are listening at around the world other than just Adam in Australia. Where are you calling from? And if you happen to be calling from my world, you know what I'm saying? We got to get on. So, anyway. Thanks, K-Star. Thanks, Train. So, guys, that's it. Another great season of Madden. Of NFL, Mad Boys NFL analyzing. And we're looking forward to coming back. I don't know, honestly, when the next show is going to be. I wish I could tell you. I do think we're probably going to take at least a couple of weeks, unless K-Star wins the tournament. We'll be right back to bring K-Star on here and give him all the accolades that he deserves and maybe try to get some other guys from the Madden community to come on and congratulate him as well. So if K-Star wins, we'll be back. But as far as our normal regular football, I don't know, guys. We're going to play it by ear. I don't know that the scouting combine will be enough for us to do a show. Maybe not. Definitely for the draft. But that's April. I know we're not going to wait that long to come back. I'll start getting, like, convulsions and, my neck will start shaking if I'm away from it long. So, but we will be back soon. And you'll see it because it'll be on Facebook. It'll be on Twitter. It'll be everywhere. Tell a friend to check out the Mad Voice. I want to thank Star again. I want to thank Dr. Train again. I want to thank all the fans and family and friends that listen to us. And I want to say that this year, Yeah, it was settled on the field. Congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens. They did it. They're the Super Bowl champs. Congratulations to Ray Lewis going out on top. And let's see what happens next year when we bring the Madden voice back and the NFL comes back. And let's see next season who ultimately settles it on the field. Take care, guys. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.